Hello.
Hi, Calvin. Here we are into the exploration of math and musics. We have been already talking with Henk Coy on this for quite a bit. And with Henk, we already looked at some of the pictures, the first pictures you made to look at math and musics from the perspective of tetrionics. And that was quite fascinating how Henk, looking at it from the perspective of a musician, recognized all the principles that he works with. And then each time you explained what you had in mind while you made those pictures. And after that, each time I reflected on how I see that we could use that for that purpose, which is the essence of math and musics, how we can see the sing-song of the cells in the body and how they all connect in cycles within cycles within cycles. And from the first version of the paintings which we discussed with Henk, you already mentioned that as a result of the conversation you changed the presentation of them. So I'd like to ask you to talk us through the changes. What did you change and why did you do that? What did you suddenly realize and how did that come out?
Right, yeah. Probably the best place to start, as we've discussed, is with the first illustration, which is simply titled Relating Math and Music Geometries to Physics. What happened was, in our initial discussions and the initial illustrations, we went down one path, which was just creating a geometric pattern for the major and minors, or dividing an octave into equal sizes or equal portions, if you like, geometrically, and using that to represent the major and minor tones. That works to a certain extent. It's not perfect because we have a problem where we can do six major, six minor, but in fact within a octave it's obviously apparent that you have seven major and five minor tones. So this, the six six versus the 7/5 means the original pattern that we chose, although simplistic and it works pretty well, doesn't work perfectly. There's a number of other reasons, but that was the main one that drove the changes. And as you can see in that illustration there, what we were striving to do was take a step from that original arrangement, which is in the bottom center of the illustration, step from that pattern to another pattern that could be applied to understanding musical notes. And what I chose to do was to use, instead of the pattern at the bottom, was to apply what tetrionics shows us for Rydberg's formula and spectral lines to music, i.e. develop a or try and create a direct correspondence between musical notes and the velocity of sound to electromagnetic waves and the velocity of light. And we can do that anyway, but what I did was I chose to use the geometries that tetrionics does for spectral lines, and that's what you can see on the right hand side with the big E around it. That's a spectral line, or an EM wave with its constituent spectral lines, and in this case there's eight different frequencies. Different amounts of energy go into creating those eight different frequencies, or 12 different frequencies, sorry, because I wanted it to relate it back to 12 notes in an octave. So instead of the usual eight levels, I put 12 levels, color-coded them all, and you can see them all represented there. So if you could have 12 transitions in an atom, that's what you'd see. And in fact, there's only eight, but we can apply the same geometries to give us the same patterns, the same scaling, the same superpositions, and it all relates back to the energy momenta, or the velocity of an EM waveform in this case. So all we do is we change that relationship. Instead of being related to the speed of light, we relate it back to the speed of sound. And we still have those same sort of relationships. They can still be mapped the same way. And frequency wavelength relationship relates to a velocity. It may be the velocity of sound. It can also be the velocity of light. But the velocity still remains the same. For any given frequency, there's a proportional wavelength that that amount of energy per second produces. So on the left-hand side, if we were to take an octave, we can divide it into 12 notes, as you can see there, C through to B, with the majors and minors all in there. And in this case, because of the geometric pattern, we can actually have seven major and seven minor tones represented. They basically equate to quantum levels. So whereas we have a C note, it's basically quantum level one in an EM wave, or in a sound wave in this case, because instead of talking about the velocity of light and electromagnetic radiation, with music we'd be talking about the frequency of the tone or its wavelength and the velocity of sound. So the relationship exists whether you're using an equilateral triangle for energy in physics, or whether you use that same equilateral triangle to represent an octave in musical notation. It still applies. We can divide it up for the energy or the force that has to be applied to create each note and the resultant wavelength, just the same as we can calculate for the force and the energies that go into creating spectral lines. So what we've done is we've moved from that original six major, six minor partition geometry, which is color-coded and easy to look at. We then sort of go to the advanced one, where we move away from that for those the exact reason that we want seven major and seven minor tones. And we do that by allocating them or aligning them to equating them to quantum levels in spectral transitions. So we end up with the same geometry that's used for physics and tetrionics applying to music. And that's what the first illustration is all about. The wavelength is simply the result of how much energy. Whether you want to talk about it as a photon or a note, makes no difference. That they relate to each other directly. You can call, they have a wavelength and they have a frequency, or a number of photons that create a certain number of photons for a given note. The frequency changes and the wavelength changes, all in relation to that velocity. In the case of music, it's the velocity of sound versus the velocity of light. So once that was done and I started making that transition, the obvious things that start to pop out immediately, and in this case we'll probably step onto, say, the musical scales illustration, is in this case, the musical scales illustration simply relates quantum levels 1 through to 12 to musical notes C through to B. And it gives a direct relationship as per that original illustration. But what I've done now is I've blown up the normal physics illustration and put it into that into the center, and dropped out all the physics notation, just left it as musical scales. And you can see that the bottom, there's two different size triangles. The first triangle is half the size of a quarter the size of the right-hand side one, which is basically a relationship of one octave to the second. If you double it, you get four times the size geometrically. You got twice the energy, so you've stepped up. But within those equilateral geometries, we can draw the 12 notes. And in this case, I've drawn all 12 notes. So you could think of it as pressing all 12 notes, 12 keys at the same time. And they're all activated, so all those frequencies will be present. So what would be recorded as a complex waveform is represented with a complex geometry. Equally, you could separate out any of the notes, and if you concentrated on a particular chord or a particular note, you could represent them simply by the color coding that's in that illustration, red through to fuchsia. and we color code it, and then you just repeat that for each octave. And that's what's happened at the bottom. You have one octave, and then you've got the second. In this case, I chose to rotate it 180 degrees, simply so that the two geometries remain within each other, and that's what you have in the middle. The middle large illustration is basically two octaves of musical notes that are all played simultaneously. So if you were to play C through to B across two octaves all at once, and if you could press all the keys at once, maybe with a ruler or something like that, activate them all, you would record a...
The sound just dropped away, Calvin. We have to see what we can...
That complex...
Calvin, we just had a drop out of the sound. You just mentioned that you had superimposed the geometries, and that the picture in the middle represents that, and that when you would press all the notes, that is exactly what you would then find.
Yeah. So that center illustration is an illustration of what you would draw if you wanted to represent all 24 notes being played at once. It's a complex waveform, one octave inside the second octave. It's either a doubling or a halving, however you want to look at it, of the octaves. We color code, but then we can use that same color coding for chords, for any sort of musical patterns. So we can actually produce a new way of representing musical notation through these triangular patterns. You can think of them as, if you like, if it makes it simpler for some, as the strings on a harp, on a harp with three sides. So all the strings go across. The size of the triangle relates to the actual note. The higher the note, the more triangles are produced. One octave is directly related to the other by the size of the triangles. So you can do it to replace musical notation into an intuitive color-coded fashion. You can, in fact, instead of just drawing the outlines of the triangles, you could, of course, always just color code 24 sheets or 24 layers of triangles on top of each other and just draw the different size triangles as white lines. So that'd be another way of drawing it. I may even produce that as another drawing to go with the collection. And that would be that illustration, which is sort of like the inverse of what we have here, would actually lend itself ideally to the creation of musical devices where you simply select a color that relates to a note. A C would be red, a D would be yellow, E would be green, etc., right through to fuchsia for B notes. And just by selecting the colors, you're selecting the notes. So for some like myself that find the idea of musical notation extremely bewildering and complex and confusing at the initial learning level, could fall back to just a simple color coding system where they just choose complementary colors and arrangements of coloring systems and geometries and learn to play or interpret music through colors and shapes before actually learning the formal musical notation. So it becomes hopefully a more synesthetic way of learning music. But we can now account for the majors and the minors. You'll see that there's 7 and 5, as it should be. They're all different quantum levels. We can draw the octaves within one another to scale as per their wavelength and frequencies. So all these sort of things start clicking back into the system by using spectral line geometries rather than the partition geometries that I started with originally in our discussions. Just to talk a bit more about the octave doubling, the next illustration we can probably jump onto is named exactly that, octave doubling. And you can see in that illustration what I'm actually, or what I've done, is I've actually taken the color coding of red, orange, yellow, green, blue as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc., and just applied that to the octave, red as a single octave, and then 2 as in doubling, tripling as in 3, and color coded them red, orange, yellow, green. So if you look at that illustration, you have the initial red octave, and then inside that you have its half octave, which is the orange triangle that you can see nested in amongst it. It's a very detailed illustration, but it's making a specific point. Within that doubling octave or halving octave is yet another octave, which is the yellow one, and within that is the green. Now, whether you're looking at in the perspective of a convergent or looking down the triangles, where you're going from red, orange, yellow, green, or whether you reverse it and say that the green is doubled to make the yellow, which is then doubled to make the orange, which is then doubled to make the red, we actually have the basics of representing an entire keyboard of musical octaves and musical notes. So we can use this pattern nested within each, within itself, to represent a full keyboard or a full range of musical notes to any length you want to go. But typically you'd probably say that you'd build on the grand piano keyboard arrangement, for example, and then you can color code each and every note on that keyboard as we've done in that illustration. That illustration goes down to 4 levels. Obviously, I don't know what the grand piano is. It's 7 octaves or something like that. So just keep going down. And as you play each note, an arrangement of triangles would appear. In this day and age of synthesizers, etc., it shouldn't be too hard to create a program that will listen for a particular note and then draw it or represent it as a triangle, as we've done here. If we do that, then we have a live version of this representation that I'm talking about, with the spectral line geometries being created for each and every note and or chord and octaves within the keyboard range. So we can use that to listen to music and present it visually, and then we can reverse engineer the process, and we can then start selecting colored notes of different octaves and composing music. We put a sequence of selections as to which colored notes, which arrangement of triangles, and it would then encode that through a synthesizer back into music, so the reversing can take place. But all the same, it's still all related to your basic octaves, chords, and musical notes, 12 musical notes within the octaves. And we can play around with that if you wanted to only, say, do 8 musical notes or 5 musical notes within the octaves. It can certainly be done, unless, and in fact, it becomes less complex by going back to, say, 5 musical notes, 5 quantum levels instead of 12. It becomes less complex in the patterns. So the different musical, I don't know if scales is the right word, but the fifths and the twelfths and the octaves, etc., can all be accommodated for in different color coding of these triangles. So I think that covers that side of it fairly well. The final one, just to touch on, would be the one would be the illustration called Musical Notes. And that one is just what I've done is I've taken that octave with all its complex 12 notes within the octave, played it once, which is the center illustration again. All 12 notes in the octave are played at once, and I've split them out. I've drawn each individual note with the triangles that represent that note and its color coding down the left and right hand sides of the page. So you can see instantly, if you saw a green coloured arrangement of 16 triangles, you'd know immediately that that's an E flat. If you saw, say, 16 aqua-coloured triangles, immediately you could relate that to being F sharp. Or just a single red triangle would be a C note. Four triangles would be a C sharp. So you hopefully you start to get an understanding of what I've done so far as relating musical notes to colours, to the octave, and to whatever scale you want, if that's the right word, whatever arrangement of notes within that octave, whether it's five notes, whether it's 12 notes, makes no difference. We just change the color coding, and then we at some stage would settle on a standard. You might say for five string instruments you want to use the fifths, so we all settle on a color code of red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and everybody that picks up an arrangement that's flashing in just those basic primary colors would know that it relates to the musical fifths. Whereas if suddenly you had fuchsia and tinier triangles appearing like it does in that illustration, you'd know that it relates to a 12 note octave. So we've got the colors, we've got the notes, the chords can be represented, the octaves themselves, the doubling, the tripling, etc., can be represented within the color coding. And the changing, the big thing that comes out of it is this non-linear ratio of notes. In Tetrionic's case, it normally relates to the difference between squared numbers, but you'll find that this arrangement with 12 levels produces a whole range of fundamental ratios between the different notes that we then marry up through the frequencies that I've listed down the side there. We then look at the ratios from one note to the other, and they can be related geometrically as well. So the non-linear relationship that's always been so hard to incorporate into musical notation suddenly is very easy to incorporate into this notation and this geometry and color coding, because of the very nature of the way that these, well, in this case the quantum levels of spectral lines, is just the ratio of one note to the other, just like musical notes are always in ratios, which brings us right back to where we started, which is that in the original illustration, whereas we related it, the transitions between energy levels to Rydberg's formula for spectral lines, you could then relate the same linear relationships between the different frequencies and their ratios back to a similar formula, in which case it would no doubt produce the Pythagorean comma, the syntonic comma. All these sort of different ratios that appear in music will appear and can be represented using these equilateral transitions, or transitions between equilateral levels, just like I do in spectral lines. The syntonic comma is already within the transitions. It's something I already know of. It's basically the ratio of 81 is to 80. And that's a complex non-linear relationship between, I think it's the fifths and the 12 notes in an octave or something. I'm not sure. I'm not that au fait with it all. But it's a combination of two things. But it's a natural transition between energy level one, or the triangle you see at the top of this illustration, and the ninth level. Nine triangles would be 81. 80 is to 81 is basically the relationship of how many triangles you have to get rid of, 80 out of 81, to leave you with just one triangle. So those non-linear components, a bit hard to go through here and explain until we work through spectral lines, but those non-linear ratios will no doubt appear just as they appear in the musical notation at present, and people struggle to explain, they'll be easily explained using this sort of color coding and this arrangement of triangles. So that's basically what I did. I simply took our original idea of partitioning geometries and applied it instead to these equilateral spectral geometries. And then it was very easy to color code note for note, energy for energy, frequency for frequency, etc. So whether you choose to use frequencies like in this illustration, or whether you want to use wavelengths, makes no difference, because the bisector of that octave, the square root of the squared geometries or the equilateral geometries, gives you the momentum or the velocity that can be created. So velocity is related to wavelength by frequency. So we have the number of triangles by the size of the triangles gives you that final octave geometry. And it's that geometry that creates that constant relationship between frequency and wavelength. So we can use it to great effect here, and I think it's the next step in creating a universal musical notation system. So I'll pull it up there. If you've got any questions or any comments you want to make, Notto, go for it.
Let me just finish off my note taking here. Because there are so many things that come up in my mind when you speak about these things. Of course, the most important part is that last bit where you say that essentially frequencies and velocities, pressure and change can now be denoted in the same way for music and for the spectral energy systems. And that, of course, is what the cells operate by. So the cells in operating change, they are able to work with atomic energies. The cells don't need energy. They already know how to work with energies. They need information. So they need the connectedness between patterns. And that's precisely what you've now addressed in these triangles and octaves within octaves. And so in that way, you've given such an immense push forward for this whole understanding of math and music by showing that there is a notation which does link up to the notation of music, which is where I first sought it, where I realized that it would be possible to find it. And now you've shown how you can find it by giving the notation of tetrionics, the triangles within the triangles, to represent what music shows. There is this immediate relationship between everything that has been described in tetrionics for the energy transitions in atoms connected to the spectral lines, energy going in, energy going out, light being absorbed, light being emitted, but now showing that this is actually the same principle that is seen in music. And while we're talking about the musical notations, if I go back to, say, the picture of the relating math and music geometries to physics, there you have the relationship between, let's say, the photon in the middle, or the note, as it would be called in music. In tetrionics, the photon is basically a radial wave, or it is a resonant pattern. It is the boson going one way, boson going the other way, magnetically coupled. And as a result, it becomes like a carrier wave for an electromagnetic field. It is no longer a field moving in the one direction or a field moving in the one other direction. But in that sense, it's a field associated with us. So in that way, it represents the boundary, the interface as the connector between the change on the inside and the change on the outside. So there we have a very fundamental principle which the cells operate by. So in that way, the lambda in the diamond shape in the middle is like the representation of the interface of the cell with, on the one hand, the expansion of the cell, and on the other side, the expansion or contraction of the universe. Of course, when the cell expands, the universe contracts, and the other way around. This principle also applies when you have two cells connected. So the middle line under the lambda symbol in that middle figure of that image is then the interface, not just of the cell, connecting the cell with the universe, but also the interface between one cell and the other. So at that level, we can see that what is shown for the photon, or what is now interpretable as the one note or the one pitch in music, is actually also the understanding for the cell, but with that also the whole dynamic of cell divisions. So when you see the cells divide again and again and again and again, forming the whole body, that basically is shown already with these triangles within the triangles within the triangles in that figure behind the lambda. And then you can also see that these triangles overlap, and that in that sense the cells are not separate, but they are still connected. And in mathematics, that's also one of the insights, that when you have two notes, if you compare the two cells to two different notes, two different pitches, they will have a shared lower note, the lower harmonic, and they will have a higher harmonic, the shared higher note. The lower harmonic would be the size of the previous cell, encompassing both cells, and the higher note, the higher frequencies, would be the say the demarcation between the two cells, like the boundary. So in the lower harmonic and the higher harmonic, you would define their common ground and their common interface. So the lowest common denominator and the highest common distinctor now have a very specific meaning, not just in mathematics, but also in cellular biology. And then when you have that notion of the cell being the universe in inverse, and the cell operating by vibrations, then all of this is already contained within that first image of relating mathemusic geometries to physics. Because the cell, of course, operates vibrations and changes of vibrations, and evidently it will need to work on the basis of the use of the Rydberg spectral frequency changes, which is so powerful in what you have now done in your reinterpretation of the images. Because now that you have connected the musical octave to the spectral changes of the atoms, then we also see the machinery by which the cells can refuel and discharge. And evidently, the cells all operate by frequencies, by vibrations. We can see that at the level of our body. Of course, we do not see sound, and we do not hear, we do not see light, and we do not hear sound. But we only perceive frequencies. The rhodopsin, which is a purpura in the sensory cells in the eyes, is able to capture a photon specifically because it has a pyramidal shape which is able to slow down the photon, as a result of which it can discharge the energy and be unraveled in the direction in which it comes to us, thereby showing a specific kind of color. But what we perceive is actually only the vibration. And when the eardrum responds to sound in the environment, which is what you've now done in connecting tetrionics to music, connecting light to sound, then we can see that what happens at the level of the sound is indeed the same as what happens at the level of the light. And where in the eye it is the molecule that responds to the change of the photon, then in the ear we can see that it is the eardrum that responds to the pressure wave. And whatever we perceive in the world around us, if it is heat, if it is pressure, if it is light, if it is taste, it is always a vibration. So in the eyes we perceive the photons, in our nose and in our mouth with the tongue we will have molecular association and molecular dissociation. Basically, we don't sample the food, but we see how the cells in our body will interact with the molecules in the food. And when we listen to what happens in the environment, we basically perceive and calibrate a pressure wave, a shock wave of change. And shock waves, of course, they can be very discrete and distinct. But sound waves are essentially also wave crests, patterns of shock waves, and thus patterns of change. And that is what you can then see in the figure on the right, as the shock waves interacting and interrelating, and in the left as the grid by which you can see the pattern of complexity reduced to utter simplicity. So while on the right you see the focus more on the patterns within patterns within patterns, then on the left you can see that it will all trace back to the fundamental grid of the simplest pattern, which is that of the boson, the quantum.
Yeah.
So going from that picture of relating mathematics, geometry to physics, to the musical scales and the musical notes, maybe best start with the musical notes, because there you said that we now have a notation which is the same for light and the same for sound. As I mentioned before, in our body the cells work with vibrations only. For the cells it is immaterial if it is light or if it is sound or if it is physical movement or if it is flavor or taste.
Just the rate of vibration.
Exactly. What you have in there is also that it is about the coherence of patterns of vibration. Again, what was discussed before, in the energy system you see cycles within cycles, denoted as triangles within triangles. In the musical system, in the previous image, it is reduced to the one quantum, which is now depicted as the C on the left. And when you go to the full spectrum of, say, saturating the atom with frequencies, or saturating the scale with vibrations, and then you end up with the B at the bottom right. So in that sense, this is the equivalent of the say, Rydberg transitions of this juicing up and the discharging of the deuteron, the core element in the atomic system. So in that sense, the depiction of the musical notes could also be regarded as the equivalent of a deuteron, as the core unit of the atom, and the way it charges up in going from the C, the C sharp, the D, the E flat, the E, F, and so on to the B.
You'd be better off doing it as the electron rather than the deuteron, because it's the electron that produces your spectral line transitions, and that's what we're really modeling, is the chem field of a photoelectron.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
As you change
yeah.
its energy, yeah. As you change its energy, you get the different spectral colors. All we're saying in this case is, as you change the energies of the note or the piano, all you're changing is the frequency again. But instead of relating it to the speed of light, we relate it to the speed of sound.
Yeah,
so
that's wonderful, because then, in a way, we have the note as a fundamental representation for, say, what happens at the quantum, the boson level. Then, as you just added, at the electron level, it already falls in place how the energy yeah. is taken in and released. At the atom level, that is then how physics forms the material systems, and the cells mm-hmm. work with that. So in that sense,
yep.
we have now not only the bridging between light and sound, but also the bridging between the quantum and the cell. Because we can, yeah. in that sense, interpret the middle triangle of this image of musical notes as what happens in the cell. And of course, what happens there will be based on what happens in the atoms, because that is the primal energy system that the cell works with. As you've just added, that needs to be understood at a deeper level of what happens at the electron. And in tetrionics, you can actually, for example, the D has that shape of the atom, of the electron right within it. So you can actually see that it is a kind of a rotation and supplementation of the atoms which can be captured in there. And then in this image of the note, we not only see the link between light and sound, the quantum and the cell, but in a way, and that was precisely the whole purpose of Mathemusics, the metabolism of energy and information, the both of them are to be connected, because cells never work with energy. They don't require energy. They also contain the energy that they can work with, but what they need is the information by yep. which they can work that energy. That is where I would like to go to that picture of the musical scales, because in a way, there we can see, as you mentioned, and that's really wonderful, so powerful for all of the understanding what we're discussing here. You said this is not just a notation for the musical scale of the octave, but it is also a musical notation in general. You could imagine that you would have this triangle, and while you were speaking, I was looking at those images in my mind, that you would have a music notation in which you would have, say, these triangles with only a few lines within it as the equivalent of, say, a musical bar within the standard music notation, and that you would have sequences like a cartoon film of triangles with lines within it in which you can say move forward and backward in time, and each time you get a slice of this triangle with the notes which are being played at that specific moment. So that you would not have just this at the music notation, but you would also use that for composition. And as you said, all you would need then is a translation to make it possible for a synthesizer or a musician to perform that. But in that way, you have a couple of other things which come into play, because you can then use this image of musical scales to show how you can have musical notation, but also how a musical composition would be a whole row of these triangles, one behind the other. And like the pianola book or the organ book, the organ grinder's book, it would just use one triangle after the other to know which notes are being placed next in the time sequence, which we then call musical performance. But also, at the same time, you would be able to show that for different musical instruments. Because when you look at this image, then evidently, in different musical instruments, there will be notes that are more pronounced or less pronounced. That's called the timbre, the tonality of the instrument. So even though an oboe and a violin and a tuba can play the same note as a drum, perhaps then the way we will perceive it is different, because there are different higher and lower harmonics which are involved. And one of the better ways to understand that is in the instrument that is used in India called the sitar, which is basically built in the same way as our head and our body. Compare the calabash of the sitar to our skull, then the body of the sitar is like the spinal column, and the sacrum at the bottom of the spine would be the equivalent of the tuning section of the sitar. And in the body we can see that the resonance takes place in the head, while the information, the plucking of the string, takes place in a spinal cord. This is again one of these relationships in mathemusics, connecting the body to musical instruments and anatomy to music. And when you see that in the sitar there are notes which are played, but there are also resonant notes, then in that same way, in this image of the musical scales, you could depict that as, say, the triangles at the left and at the right at the bottom, or as superimposed in the middle, that there are notes which are played and notes which are not played. And connecting that back to the different musical instruments, you would then have, say, a density or an intensity, lines which would be thicker or lines which would be thinner, because they are different in their resonance in their body. And that's why I like to connect that to Stradivarius, who of course got famous because he was able to create an instrument, a violin, in such a specific shape that the notes would be balanced out over the whole range of the playable spectrum of the instrument. And so you can then show that the different instruments would have a different characteristic of, say, the density of the lines within this image of the musical scales. For example, a drum would have a very thick core note with very thin higher and lower harmonics, basically more lower harmonics than higher harmonics, because of the shape of the instrument, whereas a flute, which would have a very pure note, would have basically only those lines within this image. But that means that it is possible to not just use this notation for the musical composition, but also for the musical instruments. And that makes it very interesting, of course, because then you can see how in that same notation you can superimpose different musical instruments, as is the case in creating an orchestra, and that in this specific notation you could then actually see why you need a couple of violins to balance out the wood instruments, and how different wood instruments or wind instruments would balance out different violins. So in that way, Calvin, you've not just created a musical notation for composition, but also for orchestration.
And
when you look at that sense, then you can see that what people like Bach and Beethoven have been doing in music would be visible in these notations. You can see why a beat band is so different from a musical orchestra or from a large choir, because of the way the frequencies are connected in their higher and lower harmonics in the specific instruments. So where on the one hand you would have this notation for the musical composition, which would be the notes that are being played in sequence in time. On the other hand, you would have that same notation for the musical instruments, which in a way is the capacity of a resonator to respond to vibrations before they are even played. Again, coming back to that metaphor of the sitar with the passive notes and the active notes. In the sitar, there are strings which are not being played. They resonate. Basically, they are like that musical instrument without it being played upon yet. And then there are the notes that are being played, and that would be, say, the equivalent of the notation of the composition. And coming back to the pictures at the bottom of this image of the musical scales, you would then have the one triangle representing the passive capacity of the instruments to actually be able to respond to notes that they are in being played. And in that sense, that would represent our capacity in our body at birth, before anything is activated. And in the other triangle, you would then be able to show what is actually being played at that specific moment. And in our body, that would be, for example, what is taking place in the brain. And evidently, when you understand mathemusics in that sense, you would see that there is a duality in the picture between the sitar and the body, because we always think that we think in our brain, and that the body, the spinal cord and the sacrum, and thus the whole rest of the body, just resonates to what happens in the brain. But in the picture of the musical instrument, the plucking of the strings would take place along the spinal cord, and what happens in the brain is the response of that. And in fact, as a musical performer will know, we always are dealing with the interplay between both of them, because we already have sensations coming into the body. The baby is responding to what goes on in the environment and within the body, and then the brain creates an image on that of that. And later we learn to interplay with that image in the brain, as a result of which we are then able to activate the body. So it's a two-way system. But in this images set, it is now able to denote that, to define that, to describe that. And basically that is the, coming back to the image of the octave doubling, tripling, quadrupling, that is what we then see, that interactiveness between the active and the passive music, that we need to denote that. And in the octave we can see that, I already mentioned that the triangle in that sense is the cell with the universe around it, but it is also the cell membrane, with the outside and the inside being connected. It is also the sensory surface in which we are participating in the vibrations of the world around us. And as a result, we can then see how these different scales and scopes connect up. And in that image of octave doubling, tripling, quadrupling, you have depicted the triangle and the sphere around it. So the energy system and the time system connected, and together they form the anatomy.
Exactly.
Because in our body we have consciousness, then the energy, then the time, and then the physics. Normally it's called consciousness, the regulatory system, the physiology, and the anatomy. And we always need those together. And in this image of the quadrupling, in that way, the center core, you've already referred to that green triangle in the middle, which is the most dense, would be the anatomical structure. And that from that scale, you do not see that there are circles and spheres around it which keep it in place. You just perceive the anatomy as something solid and fixed, which is how medical doctors in the West look at it. But when you zoom out one level, go from the green triangle, which would be the anatomy, to the yellow triangle of the physiology, then you can see that the anatomy is actually a condensation of the physiology within the constraint of that triangle, the yellow triangle of the physiology, with its sphere, and that you can actually see that the physiology is based on a circulation, that circle that is in the middle of that yellow triangle, so that you would see the circulation of the body explicitly depicted, which you have now shown in this image. But when you go out one level and go from The yellow triangle, which is, by the way, addressed by Ayurvedic medicine, naturopathy, they look at the way these organ circulations need to be balanced within the system, because that is what keeps the anatomy in place. You can never start with the anatomy, because that's the end result of the physiology, as this picture shows. Then when you zoom out of that yellow picture and go to the orange triangle, you can see that the circulation of the organs around the green triangle within the yellow triangle is part of the interfacing of the body in the environment, which is a circle around the yellow triangle. So in the system of the yellow triangle, you will then see the system regulation, and in the system regulation you actually are actively dealing with the need to balance the inside and the outside. And you need to do that by changing the interface of the organs in relationship to the interface of the cells, which are those two spheres which are depicted within the system. So then you can, in this image, immediately show the complexity of the body, that the physical anatomy of the green triangle in the middle, the physiology of the yellow triangle around it, which is dual, which is pointed the other way around. And then it flips around again to go to the system of the neurocrine system regulation, which is the electromagnetic regulation, because that's no longer at the level of the physics in the green triangle or the chemistry in the yellow triangle, but it's at the level of the electromagnetics of cell communication. And yes, they do that physically by using molecules, and they do that chemically by the atomic reorganization of the molecules. But every molecule is an electromagnetic spectrum. It is a bunch of information. It is a melody. It's a little sing-song. And so in the orange triangle, you can see that. And you can also see that the regulation of the body, which is the circle around the orange triangle, it needs to be based on the regulation of the organ circulation, which is the circle around the yellow triangle, but it will always need to be based on the circulation at the cellular level, which is the circle of the around the green triangle. And as you already noticed, when I was describing the green triangle, that circle around it was not in view. And that's where the medical doctors, they look at the anatomy, but they do not see that dynamic around it, which comes from the physiology. And as Bert Verveen pointed out, you need to understand that it comes from the physiology. The anatomy is consequential to the physiology. And that's what naturopathy and Ayurveda work with. But then in acupuncture and homeopathy, they are aware that the integration of the cells within the organs, within the body, which is that circle around the orange triangle, is actually taking place at the electromagnetic level. And that the body regulation is not based on the physicality or the variability of the physics, which we know is the chemistry or the physiology, but that is about the electromagnetic information exchange. And this is precisely what you see in the regulatory system, which is the neuronal and the hormonal combined, called the neurocrine regulation system, which is purely electromagnetic. So it uses the energy field on the outside and compares it to the energy on the field on the inside, which we see most explicitly, by the way, in the interaction of the frontal brain, the cortex, and the hind brain, the cerebellum, because the front brain has the information of the environment and the hind brain has the information of what goes on in the body. So let's compare that to the circle around the orange triangle as what goes on the outside, and the triangle triangulating that what goes on outside as what comes on the inside. But then we are still not there, because when you look at the body regulation, you see that it goes to a deeper level still, which is the larger triangle here, the red triangle, which is that of the spirit. So we've gone from the green triangle of the body to the yellow triangle of the mind or the physiology, to the orange triangle of the soul or the regulatory system, the neurocrine system, to the red triangle of the spirit, which is actually the universe in inverse. So we are back to the origin of the cellular system, where the cell is actually the universe in inverse. And I like that word game always. So in this case, with this triangle, the red triangle, you then have the information processing of the cell, of every cell and of any cell. And that's also, at that level, all of the cells are interrelated. So in this way, we can then see how when the body starts with the first cell, we start with this first triangle, which in the other image would be the C. And then when we when the cells divide and divide again and again and again, they create this receptor for wave field coherencing, which would be the B in the other image, where you can then see that it is triangles within triangles within triangles within triangles. So when you have a cell, the cell divides again, you have more cells, divide again and more cells, and at some point you have a body filled with cells, but all of these cells are basically receptacles, or the old term would be a grail or a graal, a resonator for the frequencies of the environment. And then we have this a very coherent picture of the body as a resonator and a system of coherent resonators. So connecting back to that earlier picture of, on the one hand, had the tetrionic notation being able to describe the musical composition. On the other hand, at the same time, the tetrionic notation is able to describe the capacity or the capacitance or the competence of the musical instrument without it being played as yet. So in that sense, you already have a full image of what the instrument can do even before it is being used. And that's where I would like to round off my reflection of it for the moment, because I see that you've already added a new view on the musical scales. And maybe you could talk a bit about that, Calvin.
Yeah.
Would you like to reflect first for what I what I just put in?
Absolutely. I mean, like, just a couple points as you're going through. Wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. There's a relationship that we can draw, literally draw in this case, between pressure waves that produce the speed of sound versus pressure waves that produce the speed of light. Geometrically, they're identical. So they can be color-coded the same way, etc., as we've done here. All that changes is the difference in velocity, speed of light versus speed of sound. It's still a velocity, however you want to term it, meters per second or miles per hour, however you want to measure it. It's just a velocity. So the geometries are the same for sound as they are for light. So we have a direct correlation between music and color. Spectral lines versus notes. Mm. We use that in tetrionics. I deliberately differentiate between equilateral masses or equilateral energies, which are mass, or let me rephrase that, equilateral energy triangles per second, which is a measure of mass, which is what we were talking about in that last illustration, rate circular measurements of time with equilateral triangles of energy, whether we're relating it to musical notes radiating out from a point, or electromagnetic fields of mass energy, or chem fields or BEM fields, makes no difference. They're all electromagnetic fields. They're all measurements of a force or changing linear momentum per unit of time. So we can now relate photons to EM fields because they have the same geometry, bosons to charge fields. We can relate EM fields to chem fields surrounding electrons or particles in motion. We can then combine those particles in motion in larger systems to create BEM fields, biological EM fields for our elements, our compounds, our biological macromolecules, and human bodies, etc., even humanity itself. They can be just represented as different scales of energy or differing masses whose wavelength frequency all changes due to the scale of the size and the units of measurement. Simple as that, but they're all related. We can finally do that using these triangles. And in fact, what you touched on earlier about the cell dividing, you can actually visualize that as just a EM field, the photon in the middle of the first illustration, splitting in two, going in both directions. The energy is just split in two. It's therefore the same as one octave being split into two octaves of lower value. So the two lower octaves can then recombine to form a larger scale geometry, like two cells combining to make a larger organism. Or they can split, as in the creation of life, a cell dividing to create two smaller organisms, two lower octaves of notes from a higher one. You can reverse the process either way. The geometry follows it. So all that can be tied back together. And that's sort of like, as you were discussing, it sort of hit on me that while I have these pictures of nested triangles, which works very well for temporal measurements, energy per second, etc., mass, and the momentum within them, we can do a subtle change, which is what that last illustration I sent you was. As it's marked, it's a revision. And all I did was, instead of nesting the triangles one inside the other by rotating them 180 degrees, I simply moved them all to one end. And if you think of it this way, that illustration where we have all the triangles at the top leading out to the larger one at the bottom is like looking down the piano keyboard from the lower notes to the higher notes. If you imagine you're looking down that keyboard, which forms the equilateral sort of geometry that the triangle represents, that illustration then has four octaves. It'd have the largest triangle is the lowest notes. They're the longest wavelength. And then the next one up is just another equilateral triangle. And it's got shorter notes, so it's the next octave up. And then above that, there's another octave and another octave. You could layer seven of these, and you'd have a geometric representation of, again, of the grand piano. But instead of having it getting more and more complicated towards the center, it grows more and more complicated to one end, or to the point, the apex, in this case. Some people may find that easier to interpret and understand. Others may find the original diagram, so we can probably keep both, but it's very intuitive. If you want the higher frequency notes, where do you go? You look to the top of the triangle, where the triangles themselves are smaller. The octaves are more compressed, the notes, the wavelengths are shorter. There's more notes in a triangle at that point because they have to be compressed more. So intuitively, and it matches up with the way that the piano is anyway. The sharp notes, the higher notes are down towards the left, the lower notes are towards the right. Even I remember that. So it's exactly like you're looking at a keyboard. So you've got these two different ways of geometrically representing notes within octaves, within octaves, within octaves, so to speak. The full scale of a piano can be represented either by nesting the triangles or by arranging those same nested triangles towards the apex, as I did in that revised illustration. So there's food for thought there as well.
I'd like to take up on this if I can for a moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you describe now is what I've read from the start of my work called the difference between nesting and embedding. a nesting mm-hmm. being that it goes into the different levels and embedding this, that you can actually bring it into more to the boundary of the system. And what you have denoted now also is what is shown in alchemy as the need to go to higher frequencies. So here, in a way, you see the explanation of why in a body, say the brain, can work with information strongest. So in that level, what you've just revised in that image, say the embedded musical scales. Thank you for the new image with numbering.
I just
for
put
it.
Numbers on it. That's all I did.
Yeah, wonderful. Because then you can see that the number four is what we would know as our brain and the information processing. The number three would be the level of what happens at the animal system, which is associated with our heart and lungs. The number two would be what's happening at our vegetative system, which would correspond with our gut and our organs. And then number one is what happens at the cellular level. And you can see that in the body as the build-up from the sacrum, where we basically have the cell embedded in the bone as, say, a microbe in the earth. And then at the second level, where once in evolution, cells learned how to combine, as described by Lynn Margulis, then they could implement opposites within their functioning, and that was how plants were then able to grow out of the soil, combining earth and water at the root level with air and light at the leaf level. So the number two is then where in our body we see how the gut actually is that representation of say the In the earth, it would be the equivalent of the worm passing through the earth and being able to digest the microbes of the earth. But at the vegetative level, it would be the plant being able to connect the air and the light above to the earth and the water below. So that happens at the gut level. And then in evolutional development, you can see that the dynamic of the acorn dropping from the oak and thereby being able to transport the oak to the next place on the earth became the same dynamic of taking up, incorporating, letting go, transporting, which is the essence of the animal territorial movement. So at level three, you then have what happens at the heart level, and the heart level of course is part of the organ system. Very specifically, the heart regulates the blood flow between all the organ system functions, which are already discussed at number two. But then you can see that at the heart level it is possible to interface with the environment to accommodate and to compensate for changes in the territorial setting. So in the heart we can then speed up the circulation, or we can slow down the circulation, we can make it stronger, we can make it weaker. Effectively at that level the whole internal climate of the organ system of the body is changed, as a result of which the organ will form more or form less, work quicker or work slower. And that is then called the regulation of the milieu interne, the interior climate, which the Greek and Latin medics called the humors, or the climates of the body. So they knew that as the seasons go from winter to spring to summer to autumn back to winter, we have a setting in the body where we can hibernate, have the winter setting, where we can kickstart it again, the spring setting, where we can be in full action, the summer setting, and where we can let go of things, the digestive autumn setting, to go back to the relaxed mode. And that is actually the cycle of which we go through in the sleep cycle. So at the third level, we are able to regulate that, to play with that. But in this image, you can see that you need much higher frequencies, but because you need to work at three levels now. You work with the cellular level number one. You need to add to that the higher complexity of the frequency functioning of number two at the vegetative system, because it now needs to accommodate for the environment, balancing between what happens in the air and the fire on the one side,
and the earth and the water at the other.
We now have an echo on the line.
Yes, that's me, Otto. I'm checking in.
Okay, like, sorry, let me just, Hank, nice that you're there. Let me just continue with the explanation, and then you can catch up in a bit.
Welcome.
Wonderful, yeah. So at the third level of this image, you can then see how the animal system is able to regulate what happens at the organ circulation, which then determines what happens at the cellular level. So that's where, in this triangle of the musical scales, we then see how 3, 2, and 1 are increasing levels of complexities. And I'm working towards this understanding of alchemy, which is called raising of the frequencies. So that brings me then to level of number 4, where we would go to the conscious animal, and as biologists called the human and the dolphins and the whale, sapiens, those are the animals that know that they can think. And it's not just the human that is able to do that, but in us being human, we can know for ourselves that we do that. So if I just reduce it to what happens in the humans, the level 4 would be the level of the brain. So in the brain, we see that something else happens than at level 3. Level 3 was the heart via the blood being able to regulate what happens in the organs at level number 2. And the organs between them are able to balance out for what happens at the cell level of number 1. But at level 4, you see that a change has taken place, because at level 1 we are dealing with the anatomy. Level 2, we're dealing with the physiology. Level 3, we're dealing with the regulatory system, resetting the boundaries between the inside and the outside. But with level 4, we are dealing with the overlap of the information field of the outside to the inside. Yep. And that's where tetrionics now gives a very strong addition to the understanding, which medical doctors actually need very strongly, which is that in the brain, the same happens at what happens in the heart. And in the heart, the same happens at what happens in the organs. And in the organs, the same happens at what happens at the cells. So you go from level 3 to level 4 to level 3 to level 2 to level 1. You can actually see that the brain is an extension of what happens at the heart level. And that the heart is a continuation of what happens at the organ level. And at the gut level, and that what happens at the gut level is an unfolded version of what happens at the level of the cell. And you can actually see that in the development of our human being, we start with the cellular being, then we add to that the physiological vegetative system, the plant-like flow processes, like in the blood and the neurons. And then at the third level, you see that the internal circulation takes place at the heart level. The circulation has to be connected between all the organs. And at the fourth level, we then see that the information flow becomes clear in itself. Because if you look at the development of the body, the brain is basically part of the heart connects to the outside. Which connect to what happens in our lungs, what happens in the gut. Those are the two main circulations of the brain. And then later the heart unfolds into the brain as well. But the brain embryologically, is just that part of the gut, which used to be within and between the gut. So if you look at it very clearly, definedly, in the body at level 2, you would have all of the organs between them form a Möbius loop, an inside-out loop connecting the body and the environment in the food chain. But then the blood flow became regulated and added to that in having the capacity to reset the tides to match the seasons, so to say. And so that is what you see in the organ level in the connective tissues. Medical doctors, they don't think very much nor very highly about the connective tissues. But the connective tissues in the body are in fact a very highly conductive electromagnetic information system. So the organs between them, they already inform each other of what is happening. Hank, you maybe can turn off the loudspeaker on your side, because we have an echo on here.
Yeah, so I hear it.
If you look at what happens at the level of... I'll just wait for Hank to sort that out. Just unplug the loudspeaker, Hank, that will solve it. It's still there.
Yeah.
Just mute the microphone on your end.
Yeah. Okay. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Thank you. There where we were looking at the organs, how they interact between them, and the connective tissue sharing their electromagnetic information between them, that is then what is used in the blood circulation, so that the blood circulation can be very specifically directed. And I already mentioned that the connective tissues are body materials produced by the cells to be highly information conductive. And in the heart, you can see that explicitly, because in the 7 heart layers, which are, by the way, formulated in the same shape of the tetrionic tetrahedron, as Dan Winter already pointed out, there is an electromagnetic field which is superimposed on the blood. So at level 3, you can then see that there is this superimposition of the direction of the lemniscate. And in tetrionics, that has now been made explicit in the spiral forms, which is actually the dynamic of the heart shape. Then at level 3, you can see that the communication between the organs is made explicit not only at the connective tissue level, but also as the physiological equivalent of that, which is that of the blood circulation. So every heartbeat, the heart superimposes an electromagnetic vector with a very precise orientation onto the blood, as a result of which the blood is directed for a specific organ and thus for a specific function in the lemniscate connecting the inside and the outside, which is formed by the organs as they connect up. But now at level 4, a deeper level comes in view, which is that the electromagnetic flow itself becomes proponent. It becomes the most explicit. And so where in the heart it was seen as the orientation of the electromagnetic vector for the blood going to the whole of the body with the capacity of each organ to respond to that selectively, in the brain we can see that the whole electromagnetic vectoring, which takes place in the heart, is now the function of the brain itself. So in the brain we have a highly electromagnetic organ which is actually doing exactly what happens between the organs. And coming back to what happened in the embryology, the brain is actually originally positioned right between the organs. If you would like to take it in the metaphor of the Greek mythology, then the organs are the gods of the Olympus, and they literally move the boundaries of our reality and our realization. So they definitely do have that function of gods, of creators in our environment. But then the mountain of the Olympus, or in Indian mythology, Mount Meru, would be the pivot which is being reset, the connective tissue which is being reset by the organs functioning together, And then the brain is actually that function, that property. So in that sense, in the embryology, the communication between all of the organs, which took place at the gut level already, which was addressed and redressed at the heart level, is then pulled up one level further and made even more explicit at the brain level. And then we can see that at level 4, we have the most energy information intensive communication. So essentially all of the cell communication, which we already have at level 1 in the image of musical scales, comes together in an interplay, an interference pattern. It's like one cell being divided. You then can suddenly focus on the communication between the cells, which is also the essence of my work on freedom of choice. Then at level 2, you can see that interference pattern, that double overlay, which is now so clear and explicit in this tetrionic notation formulation of that principle. So at level 2, you can see that you are now working with not just a field, but with an interference pattern. At the third level, you can actually see that between the interference patterns, a new interference pattern will result. So that the information between the outside, which is the information field around the body, plus the information on the inside, which is what happens within the cell. And by the way, that's the equivalent of what happens in the forebrain and the hindbrain within the brain. Then we can see that around the pineal gland, we will have the interference of the interference fields, of the superimposed fields, as number 3, what is what the heart works with. But in the brain, number 4, we can see that the result of those interference fields interacting with each other is another electromagnetic field with higher frequency vibrations. And that's where the alchemist always said that you need to increase the frequencies. So, Kelvin, you've done this wonderful stuff now in bringing out this much deeper level of information organization in the body, that where number 1 refers to the cells, number 2 to the vegetative system, number 3 to the animal system with the heart, and number 4 with what happens in the brain. You can now explicitly see in this image that the brain works with a much higher information density. It works with what we know as consciousness. Pure information, pure face changes. Are we involved, yes or no? That's where freedom of choice operates. Once we have defined our orientation at that level, at level number 3, we take a decision. Are we going to connect, yes or no? So where number 4 would be the pituitary gland, the epiphyses in our body. Number 3 would be the hypophyses, which then actually needs to take a decision. Are we getting involved by changing the environment, or are we getting involved by changing us internally? Those 4 climates of the seed opening up as the flower of the plant, or the seed hibernating in the soil, which is basically what astrology describes. But then you can see that this regulatory system works on the basis of what happens already in the gut. So that in the gut we have this flow between inside and outside, basically the lemniscate, the cycling in and out and back again, the figure 8 dynamic of the level number 2, the interference field, which can also be represented by what mathematicians and physicists would call a Cornu spiral. Basically spiraling in, spiraling out, spiraling in, spiraling out, and just going on in that dynamic. So that's what happens at the vegetative level, but it is always based on what happens at the level of the cell. And so this is wonderful, Kelvin, that you have brought this out in this image, and that you connect these musical notations with the possibilities to look at the development of the vibrational set within the system, in going from the cells to the organs to the animal system to the consciousness system. because that is how we regulate our body. From the consciousness as level 4, we can then redefine the energy system, which takes place at the system regulation in the body at number 3, which then will reparameterize, redefine the physiological circulation, the internal circulation, which is a continuation of the external food chain. So the internal food chain at number 2 is being pulsed and pumped by, say, the gardener of the garden at level 3, looking at the circulation of the garden at number 2, the physiology, which then will determine the growth in the garden at level number 1. And where I all connected up on this was in the alchemical saying that you need to increase the frequencies, that if you want to ensure the and assure the integrity and the health of the cells at level number one, then you need to know what happens at the level of the physiology by which the cell is connected to the environment, which is what naturopathy and Ayurvedic medicine look at. If you want to be able to tune that and fine-tune that, you have to know what happens at the electromagnetic level, which is what homeopathy and acupuncture work with. And in order to be able to know why you need to reset that, you need to work with the information integration of the system itself at level 4, which is what shamanic and spiritual healthcare works with. So in this system, you can also see that number 1 would be the Western anatomical medicine. Number 2, needing more information about the circulation, the frequencies, would be the Ayurvedic, the what is done in the East for the medical system. In the Far East, with the electromagnetic regulation, is what is depicted at number 3. And what happens in the Far West, the shamanic traditions, is about the information integration. So then you can see that this picture now formulates the essence of integral healthcare, which is based on the connectedness between consciousness, energy, time and space, which we experience as the information system, second, the regulating system, third, the physiological system, fourth, the anatomical system. But then, of course, we can understand that in our body, it is the fourth level of being connected to the environment at the pure information level, which in tetrionics is the boson-photon field. So you would actually see that the fourth level would be the boson level of being able to be a creator in creation. If you want to maintain that, if you want to regulate the system, you will need to go to the photon level, combining 4 and 3, so that you can actually stabilize your relationship in the environment on basis of the information that you have. Then when you combine the photon and the boson, you can get the electromagnetic field to create number 2, which then is able to adapt the electromagnetic situation in the environment, which then can create the conditions to create a physical structure, which in tetrionics would be at number 1. You would then be able to form the tetrion. So in that sense, you see that in this image, you would have number 4 representing the boson, number 4 and 3 representing the photon, number 4 and 3 and 2 representing the electromagnetic field, and number 1 adding the capacity to fold it all up to form a tetrion. Kelvin, as you see, I'm now connecting up to the image that you made, as a result of which, on what Henk told you about the way music works in our body, I can now show that this is exactly how we can describe the nature of frequency processing in our body. Consciousness number 4, the heart level number 3, the lemniscate interaction cycling at number 2, based on cellular function on number one. So you already experienced how powerful this tool is to help understand what happens in the body. Let me just reconnect so that we can see how we can continue on this. One moment, please. Thanks.